For Chasm Radio, I'm Farm Director Joe Gill, your Central Minnesota Farm Report for a Saturday morning. It's brought to you by Midsota Trailer Sales and Service, right off I-94 in Avon. We check in with Trey Freeman from EverAg. I spoke to Trey on Thursday about the current cattle market, and Trey gave us a glimpse at the week going on in the markets on cattle nationwide.
Cattle trade yesterday, 190 in Texas and Kansas. That's steady with last week. In Nebraska, we had 188 to 190. That'd be steady to a couple bucks lower. Slaughter expected to be 620,000 head this week. That'd be 3,000 less than last week, 17,000 less than last year. Boxed beef prices, they're looking toppy. Choice beef down over $4 in the last couple of days, which is in line with the seasonal, but we did beat expectations on that seasonal move higher that we tend to see in October. So that has certainly contributed to these last seven consecutive weeks of higher prices on the negotiated Fed cattle market. Futures, October fats and feeders go off the board today. On the charts, we still have gaps hanging in November and January feeders from yesterday's lower open. Live cattle futures open interest is the highest it's been since March of last year. So plenty of vulnerability on a sell-off, not to mention funds are now net long over 90,000 contracts. That's the largest since October of last year. They've added about 50,000 contracts to their net long position in the last 5-6 weeks.
Lower numbers overall slaughter, but we're seeing those slaughter weights, those are higher, aren't they?
We're averaging, steers are averaging 924 pounds year to date. That's 24 more pounds than a year ago. Heifers, same thing. They're averaging about 20 pounds more. So if you look at fed beef production, it continues to outpace last year despite that smaller slaughter count. It's actually up year-to-date about 1.8% or about 325 million pounds. So those elevated dressed weights just, they are taking a toll on this market. But cheap feed prices, I mean, it's just more economical to add more days on feed. Now, if you look at the non-fed production side, year-to-date, it's the lowest since 2016 for the same time frame at 470 million pounds or about 13% less than a year ago. So overall, total fed beef or total beef production, so this is fed beef and non-fed, it's only a fraction lower year-to-date, less than 1%.
Trey Freeman with EverAg joining us here on Chasm Radio. And when you look at short-term and long-term expectations here, I'd say for the rest of the year, market's going to remain pretty much where it is. And it seems like that forecast for 20 and 25 is almost similar, wouldn't you say?
Yes, and I can certainly see some weakness here just due to the aggressive buying of the funds here on the futures market. And I mean, I hate to see it, but we do see futures dictate cash, just like we saw two sharply lower days Tuesday and Wednesday, and we saw that cash trade steady to lower. You know, that's this futures market has me nervous. Aggressive fund buying, and you can't count on them. And we got an election coming up next week, and plenty of macroeconomic news. I mean, earlier last week we had the September 2024 CPI, slightly softer than expectations. That headline number was plus 2.2% year over year, with food away from home at plus 3.9%, and food at home plus 1.3% year over year. So we continue to see this pattern of higher restaurant menu prices compared to grocery prices. It's been persistent and a continued overhang, pushing cost-conscientious consumers to do more at-home eating. So we continue to see a little bit of a crunch on the consumer's wallet here. And that is one thing that has me nervous, just talking about the beef production and how we're able to offset a lot of these smaller numbers, you know, that matched with potential weakness in beef demand. It has all the weight to bear right here. You look at these futures markets, and there is a lot of talk about, and I don't disagree with much improved prices going into next year. I wouldn't doubt to see $2 by April, but it's very surprising to me if you look at the spread in futures from cash to that February and April contracts right now. I mean, we're trading 190 in that October that goes off the board today. February's trading 187, 186.75, and April trading 187.10 right now. So there's not much of a premium out there. So we'll see if we don't get some cold weather here later this this fall or winter. Some forecasts, they'll nudge those higher, but not a lot of aggressive buyers in those deferred fat cattle contracts.
You know, Trey, as well, we're not seeing any more cattle staying on the farm feeder cattle. I mean, prices here in the upper Midwest still very strong, whether it's a steer or a heifer calf. We have baby calves, dairy cattle are high, just cattle in general at our local auction barns are high. So we hear a lot about, you know, herd rebuilding and such, but I can't foresee that happening anytime soon either.
Yes, yes, that's, and that's very hard to gauge, but it doesn't happen overnight, and, you know, it's there's a lot of analysts looking out there to 2026, so this may not be quite the type of market we saw in 2014, 2015, where we just fall out of bed. You know, this may be a more gradual turnover, but, you know, we got to remember we're also ever more in a more globalized cattle and beef market. And so that is different than 2014, 2015, the last cycle we saw, peak cycle. But we got to take that into account. Imports are up almost half a billion. Exports, they have held on better than expected, I believe, than most analysts thought coming into this year. They're only down about 3.5%, but we're pulling cattle from Mexico. Year-to-date feeder cattle, we've pulled 190,000 more than last year. So we are becoming an ever more globalized cattle market. So we are seeing that, and it's giving us some headwinds here. But like you said, it doesn't happen overnight, and we could stay elevated as far as sharp moves higher. That may be hard to see, but again, for the third time, it does not happen overnight. So I'm still friendly to these markets. I don't see any too big of a fallout coming here soon, but the volatility is gonna remain. I mean, you look at those charts, that's the pattern, and so I'd expect it moving forward, especially with these funds so in and out here these last couple of years.
Trey, finally, is there one outside thing that's on the horizon if we play the woulda, shoulda, coulda, or if game? If something occurs here or something happens here, that could trigger the market higher or lower. Are there any of those kind of whammies out there or not?
I mean, the election, but, you know, is either one. I don't know how friendly they are, but, you know, that stock market, don't bet against America. That's what my dad always told me. That's what my grandpa always told me. And these cattle, they like to follow that stock market. Consumers, they seem to be more willing to spend money on that higher priced protein, on living life, really, whenever that stock market's moving higher, even though they don't have access to the funds right now. So that is one thing to keep an eye on. You know, there's always threatening about this thing turning over, but what has it done? I mean, we've gone straight up, really. I mean, since COVID, would we hit in the Dow 22,000, we're trading 42,000. I mean, it's been much stronger than I'd say many, many analysts have expected. So that is a bright spot, I believe, on the horizon, if that can just hold together still.